Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 3, Text 54, Liberation from the Illusory Energy. Atmanam tanmayam dhyayan, Murtim sampujayet hare, Shesham adhaya shirsa, Swadhamya udvasya satkritam Atmanam tanmayam dhyayan Mutim sampujayet hare Shesham adhaya shirsa Swadhamya udvasya satkritam Atmanam tanmayam dhyayan Mutim sampujed hare Shesham adhaya shirsa Swadhamya udavasya satkritam Atmanam tanmayam dhyayan Mutim sampujate hare Sheshamadhaya shirsa Swadhamya udavasya satkritam Atmanam tanmayam dhyayan Mutim sampujate hare Sheshamadhaya shirsa Swadhamya udvasya satkritam Atmanam tanmayam dhyayan Murtim sampujet hare Shesham adhaya shirsa Swadhamya udvasya satkritam Matajis Atmanam tanmayam dhyayan Murtim sampujet hare Shesham adhaya shirsa Swadhamya udvasya satkritam Atmanam oneself Tat in the Lord Mayam Absorbed, dhyayan, so meditating, murtim, the personal form, sampujayet, should fully worship, hare, of Lord Hari, shesham, the remnants of worship, adhaya, taking, shirasa, upon one's head, swadhamani, in his place, Udvasya, putting. Satkritam, respectfully. A translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The worshipper should become fully absorbed in meditating upon himself as an eternal servant of the Lord and should thus perfectly worship the deity, remembering that the deity is also suchetant within his heart. Then he should take the remnants of the deity's paraphernalia, such as flower garlands, upon his head and respectfully put the deity back in his own place, thus concluding the worship. Purport. The word Tanmayam in this verse is significant. One who is purified by worshipping the deity form of the Lord can understand that he, the worshipper, is an eternal servant of the Lord. And is qualitatively one with the Lord, being like a tiny spark of the original fire, the personality of Godhead. Sri Madhvacharya has stated in this regard, Vishnur Bhuttu Aham Iti Eva Sadasyad Bhagwan Maya Naivaham Vishnu Asmiti Vishnu Sarveshwarohi Ajaha. One should think, I am an eternal servant of Vishnu. And therefore, because I am his eternal part and parcel, I am eternally one with him. But I am not Vishnu himself, because Vishnu is the supreme controller of everything. The basic principle of deity worship is that one must understand oneself to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. One who is addicted to sexual gratification, foolishly identifying himself with the external material body, cannot change his conception of himself from that of an enjoyer to that of the enjoyed. Such a person interprets the word tanmayam to mean that the worshipper is himself also the worshipable object. Sri Jiva Goswami Prabhupada has written in his Durga Sangamani, his commentary on Sri Rupa Goswami Prabhu's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that ahangra upasana, or the process of worshipping oneself as the Supreme, is a gross misidentification of oneself with the Supreme, who is actually one's eternal shelter. The six Goswamis have repeatedly clarified this point. But unintelligent persons within the Prakrit Sahaja community become influenced by the bogus ideas of the Mayavadi philosophers and thus display the deluded misconception that the worshipper becomes the supreme shelter. Such a hallucination is an apradh, an offense against the Lord. Therefore, the word tanmaya in this verse should not be offensively understood to mean that the worshipper becomes equal to his eternal worshipable object. The last text, 55, this ends the chapter. It has no purport. So we'll be reading this. Evam agnya arka toyadava atitau ridaechayah yajat ishwaram atmanam achiran muchyatehi saha. Translation. Thus the worshipper of the Supreme Lord should recognize that the personality of Godhead is all-pervading and should worship him through his presence in fire, the sun, water and other elements. In the heart of the guest, one receives in one's home and also in one's own heart. In this way, the worshipper will very soon achieve liberation. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Namom Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gautvishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishbhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Atmanam Tanmayam Dhyayan Murtim Sampujayet Hare Shesham Adhaya Shirsa Swadhamnya Udvasya Satkritam. The worshipper should become fully absorbed in meditating upon himself as an eternal servant of the Lord and should thus perfectly worship the deity, remembering that the deity is also situated within his heart. Then he should take the remnants of the deity's paraphernalia, such as flower garlands, upon his head and respectfully put the deity back in his own place, thus concluding the worship. Hare Krishna. Seeking the blessings of all the devotees and also thanking that somehow by this service they have engaged me in remembering and meditating upon Krishna. Also this week is observing the disappearance of Haridas Thakur and celebrating the Holy Name Week. And this verse deals with deity worship. So this just reminded me of some passages in Chaitanya Charitamrita from which we will start.
Jagat nistar lagi kare chintan, hai Vaishnava jagat ke mane hoibe mochan.
So Advaita Acharya was always absorbed in thoughts of how to deliver the fallen souls of the entire world. The entire world is full of non-devotees, he thought. How will they be delivered? So thinking in such way, he decides to cause Krishna to descend. And by the vow of offering jal and tulsi to the Shaligram Shila, he requests the Lord to descend. At the same time,
Haridas kare gufaya nama sankirtan, Krishna avtarina hoibe eitara man.
Similarly, Haridas Thakur chanted in his cave on the bank of the Ganges with the intention of causing Krishna's descent.
Dui janera bhakte chaitanya kaila avatar, nama prema prachari kaila jagat udhar.
Because of the devotional service of these two persons, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended as an incarnation. Thus he preached the holy name of the Lord and ecstatic love of Krishna to deliver the entire world. So here we see that how by the process of deity worship that Advaita Acharya actually demonstrates in the Panchatattva, and by the chanting of the holy name demonstrated by Namacharishtha Haridas Thakur, one can invite Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu to reside in one's heart. So it is a combination of both these processes. And Srila Prabhupada exemplified his faith in both the Srimad Bhagavatam, the chanting of the holy name, and deity worship. When he was preparing, since yesterday was the day that he actually put his foot forward to sail to the US, just before he was going to the US, Prabhupada wanted the visa. And he was thinking of how to get it done fast. So he decided to then meet Dr. Radhakrishnan, who was the president of India. He thought if he gets a recommendation letter from him, it will definitely expedite his process for the visa. So by some contact, he gets an appointment with Dr. Radhakrishnan. And as bold as Prabhupada was, now the first thing he goes and tells Dr. Radhakrishnan is, "No, you are the president of the country. What are you doing for the nation?" Yeah. And actually he is demonstrating what is the duties of the king. You know, we see a king Nimi Maharaj similarly approaching the Navayogidras to inquire about transcendental knowledge. Not only for himself, but also for the assembly that is there, and also for the general populace. And that is what Prabhupada is actually hinting. And he gives him a striking example. He says, you should be like Narad and Valmiki. Just like Narad Muni delivered Valmiki by preaching the glories of the holy name, that is what you should be doing. You know? Because Radhakrishna, he knew that had some inclination to Vedic philosophy. Though he was not very sympathetic to Krishna worshippers, but still Prabhupada took this chance, knowing that he had some pious background. And Dr. Radhakrishna took it in a sport. He did not like actually in one say, you know, this person just turns up and you know he's challenging me. So he accepted the challenge. Said, fine, if this is what you think, is the best way for the general populace and will emancipate even the lower sinful human beings, then why don't you do it? So Prabhupada said, yes, you know, I've been actually instructed by my Gurudev to go to the Western countries and preach this gospel of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's why I need your recommendation letter. So Radha Krishna, and he was quite direct, you know, I need it just for this. So Radha Krishna took it sporting. He said, okay, fine. If you're so confident about it, then let us take a then I give you a challenge. Go to any of the jails in Delhi and preach this gospel of Srimad Bhagavatam and the chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And if a marked improvement is seen in the jailer, in the custodians there, in the criminals there, I will definitely give you a recommendation letter. And actually Prabhupada took up the challenge. And Dr. Radha Krishna actually got him connected to one of the jails in Delhi, correction facility. Prabhupada went there, preached the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam and the holy name for 2 months, twice every week on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And after 2 months, this jailer actually gives a recommendation letter to the president, to Dr. Radha Krishna, saying that since Swami Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada has come here, we have seen that there has been a marked improvement in the inhabitants of this correction facility. And definitely, I would say that this process works. And Dr. Radha Krishna Prabhu, Dr. Radha Krishna was like, he took the, he played it in the right spirit and he immediately gave a recommendation letter to Prabhupada for his visa. So we can see how Prabhupada actually right from the beginning, you know, he knew what he was doing and he had complete faith. I was able to immediately recollect the conversation that he has with the Chicago police superintendent, where he puts up this challenge, you know, what are you doing? Give us, you know, we'll take the responsibility of the criminals. You throw open the jails to us and we will preach there. So now that he was just having a, you know, just a theoretical faith, actually he had done it before he came to the US. And Prabhupada was very intelligent to put forward this in various ways. So, we see that in this conversation, just before the questions actually asked are again same, you know, that we see throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. The conversation between Shukdev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, Shaunak Rishi and the other sages, between Vidur and Maitreya. It's a common thread. The common questions. What is good for the entire populace? How one can be liberated? What is Maya? How one can be liberated from Maya? What are the Leela Avatars? Please explain in detail. The same theme is flowing of questions and answers. And here we see that even Nimi Maharaj has asked these questions previously. He has put forward these questions to the Kumars. But the Kumars actually do not reply to him directly. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says because they thought that they were not mature enough. He was not mature enough to receive the instructions at that time. So a transcendentalist may actually respond in different ways. But the whole point of his answering or not answering is to actually drive home the message of pure devotional service. And how one can take it up. It's the person and the general populace taking in mind. Same with Prabhupada. When the ambassador of India to Paris or to France actually arrived at the airport, so to give him the state honor, the different French authorities were there. And they saw that Prabhupada was also there with his devotees. And they inquired about Prabhupada. And the devotees explained that how that you are greeting the ambassador of India, but Prabhupada was the spiritual ambassador of India. And the authorities were very happy to know that actually and said, oh, we would like to welcome Prabhupada also in the same way. So they actually invited Prabhupada to come to the city palace in Paris, where he was supposed to be treated as the guest of honor. And when Prabhupada entered, he saw the amazing palace that was, but he was nonchalant about it. And he sat on the chair reserved for the state guest, which was ornately decorated. And Yogeshwar Prabhu was his assistant that time. Because he was also a French person, he was helping, you know, translate the authorities' list of protocol to Prabhupada. And this lady said that, Prabhupada, when the deputy mayor comes, you're supposed to stand up and greet him. And Prabhupada was like, I am supposed to stand up for the deputy mayor? So, Yogeshwar Prabhu writes that he immediately sensed, you know, that something is going to happen. Because Prabhupada, the way he took it, it was like, I am the spiritual master, you know. I am supposed to stand up for the representative of the king? You know, that's not etiquette. So, and he knew that, you know, Yogeshwar Prabhu says that he knew in France, breach of etiquette had led to wars before. And Prabhupada was going to take a risk, you know, in presenting this. But Prabhupada was really relaxed about it. And the deputy mayor, when he came in, Prabhupada just kept, you know, sitting. And this, you know, made the color of the mayor change, the deputy mayor change. And he was like, he was smiling first and it just became like, you know, a slightly burning charcoal. Why this person is not getting up? And he looked towards the person in charge of the protocol and asked her, you know, have you not informed what you're supposed to do? And she immediately told Yogeshwar Prabhu that, have you not informed what the protocol is? And he knew Prabhupada's response. So he knew, he was expecting, you know, what is going to come. So he pretended that he didn't even hear what she's saying. And he just was making notes in his diary. And Prabhupada was still relaxed, you know, like looking at him, smiling. And this person, you know, he didn't know what to do. So his disposition then changed slowly from anger and he just smiled, you know, he gave in to Prabhupada and said, and then he extended his hand to Prabhupada and said, yeah, very nice meeting you. And you know, and the newspapers, they knew this is an opportunity. You know, everybody wants something to write, some gossip, something new. So they were all clicking at what, you know, what this all was about. And the mayor then started saying, no, Prabhupada, we are very happy to greet you as the state guest of honor. This place has seen so many other names, you know, and he started listing the names of the presidents of US and so many people who had actually come here before. And said that how France actually valued spiritual values. And Prabhupada took this opportunity, said, yes, well, it's very good that you actually value spirituality, but what is spirit? You should know the difference between the body and spirit. And immediately he quoted the example of Napoleon. So Napoleon, he said, I am France. So France is still here, and where is Napoleon? So something like what is mentioned in this purport of Angrupasana, where the Vashpa thinks that he himself is the supreme. So here Napoleon is thinking, I myself am France. Prabhupada immediately says, France is here, where is Napoleon? And in this way, he started driving home the point of the difference between body and spirit and how one should take up to spiritual life. That is the duty of the state government. And, you know, he kept on speaking for 10 minutes. And the deputy mayor was just, you know, just giving an ear and he said, yes, yes, Prabhupada, yes, yes. And then Prabhupada actually, you know, got up and shook his hands. Prabhupada actually rarely did, you know, he never shook anyone's hand. So he shook his hands and he like patted, and it's just like after a boxing match, you know. So once the person is lost, the winner comes and shakes and says, oh, well played, you're good. So Prabhupada was just like that, to drive home the point. So in either case, the whole message of the transcendentalist in answering in different ways is to drive home this point of what is spirit, what is matter, what is Maya, what is not, and how we are supposed to get out of Maya. And he may take different postures and different ways of communicating this. So here in the purport, it is said, Tanmayam, that the worshipper actually thinks himself as the Supreme Lord. And immediately this is clarified in the purport by the disciples, thinks himself as the Lord means qualitatively. Not that he becomes the Lord. But premanjana bhakti churita vilochanena. Only the devotees can see this purport. For the Mayavadis, it immediately means, oh, see, this is one more example where it is said that the worshipper should worship himself as the Supreme Lord. So it is only by taking the shelter of a devotee one can actually understand the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, it's very difficult. Actually, Angra Upasana is a modified way of worshipping for the impersonalists. Not that it is not mentioned in the Vedic scriptures. But the devotees have a different understanding of the same. Yeah. So in the Bhagavad Gita, you can see that this is mentioned in the 9th chapter. Quite a lot of similarity in what the 9th chapter is saying and what this conversation is all about. Where the 15th shloka mentions, Jnanena yagnena chapyanne yajanto mam upasate ekatvena prithaktvena bhauda vishvato mukham. So this has been mentioned here. The three type of monists who take up to the process of transcendence. Ekatvena, that is monism, and prithaktvena, that is pantheism. Bhauda vishvato mukham. Vishvato mukham is that they worship the Vishwaroop. So these three forms have been mentioned. So ekatvena is monism. Prabhupada actually clarified that, you know, how Shankaracharya came to establish the faith in the Vedic scriptures. And therefore to defeat the Bodha philosophy of voidism, he said, yes, actually, you know, it is right that what he's saying, there is no God. Actually what he meant was that you are only God. So in this way, he wanted to somehow put this understanding of God back into society. Yeah. So he used this to say, yes, there is no God. Because you only are God. And so Prabhupada, you know, uses this in saying, so he used this to say, to explain that we should understand that there is no God and God has to say and understand how he is not God or how he is God. So it's a contradiction. But that is how Mayavad philosophy is all about. But just before that, in the previous shloka, he is saying that how, who is the Mahatma? Mahatmanastu mam partha devim prakutim ashritam. So he is saying that how one who has taken the shelter of his internal potency, he is actually a Mahatma. That's why he's using the word here, anyena. Who are the others? So who have not taken the shelter of the internal potency of the Lord, those others. Who are these others? These three. Who worship the Lord as monists or panthis or the Vishwaroop of the Lord. These are the impersonalists. So this is what this is whom he's going to talk about. But again, he's establishing the very fact that they are not really up to the mark. In this, the worst is, of course, the one who's thinking that he himself is God, who's taking this process of Angra Upasana. Actually, if you read this verse, so it says that one should worship the deity and take this flower and put it up on his head. This is what actually the Angra Upasanas do. They worship themselves with flowers and garland themselves. Okay. But the devotees actually take the garland as the Mahaprasad of the Lord. Yeah, so anyone who's performing deity worship knows that the first thing he's supposed to do is Bhuti Shuddhi and think that how his spiritual master, who's the eternal servant of the Lord, is situated at his lotus feet and he takes the shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. So the whole process of deity worship is to understand that how one is the eternal servant of the Lord. And that's why Prabhupada used both these aspects of deity worship and of the holy name to establish how both these processes can deliver one from Maya. Just coming to the, just taking this 9th chapter in detail, we can see that the chronology is exactly of what is going on between the conversation between Nimi Maharaj and Avrihotra here. So, Nimi Maharaj is again being compassionate because the Bhagavad Dharma has already been glorified. In the verses from 32 to 40 in the second canto, he describes the whole process of Bhagavad Dharma, how from Shraddha to Prem, this process progresses, and one how one has to supposed to take it. But again, taking the lead from the 48th verse, where he's describing the qualities of the devotees, and he's describing how a pure devotee sees everything in relation to Krishna, the word Maya is used. He takes this opportunity and requests that please explain even about Maya. So Nimi Maharaj is saying, yes, Harikatha is very nice, you know, it is very purifying. But I also want to know about Maya. So one should know also of Maya and Hari. This is how Vidyam or Vidyamcha. He should know both aspects. That is how he can be delivered from the illusory potency of the Lord. So he's taking this opportunity and asking, please explain about Maya. So Nimi Maharaj, when asking this question, he takes his opportunity to, you know, understand what is Maya, how one can be liberated from Maya. And then the Navyogendras take turn to explain how one is supposed to take to deity worship. And he can be liberated from this illusion of Maya. So there, before this series of verses begin, the aspect of transcendence has been explained. That how the deity is a transcendental object. Yeah, he is non-different from Krishna himself. This is exactly how the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita flows. So, initially it says, Raj Vidya Raj Guhyam, that's the second shloka. That now I'm going to give you the most confidential knowledge. And so Krishna then starts to say that one who does not accept this, how he again falls back into the process of birth and death. So from shlokas 4 to 10, Krishna describes his Maya Shakti in form of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Yeah. And then he says in the 11th verse, this is again that what he is stressing. He says, fools deride me. When I descend in the human form, they do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that being. So that is why, you know, after explaining deity worship, again Nimi Maharaj is trying to highlight the point that one should understand how the deity is a transcendental object. It has nothing to do with the material world. So the Angra Upasana is not only a type of mentality that is seen in the impersonalists. It also creeps in devotee circles. And this is what Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur and the six Goswamis actually vehemently wrote about to clarify this aspect. That how a devotee, when he is influenced by the Mayavad philosophy, becomes deviant and takes to Angra Upasana. Especially we will see this in some of the Vaishnava Sampradayas. Like the Ramanandi Sampradayas. They take up to this Angra Upasana. And that is why the rest of the Vaishnava schools do not agree with the Ramanandi Sampradaya on every aspect of their process of deity worship. Because they are slightly contaminated with this Mayavad philosophy. So though they are a Vaishnava Sampradaya, this contamination is there. And we can see this in the story of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Raghunath Bhat Goswami is coming with this Ram Vishwas. So Ram Vishwas is continuously, you know, chanting the holy name of Ram, 24 hours. And he's very eager to serve Raghunath Bhat Goswami, who's a Vaishnava. He's very gentle in disposition. And Raghunath Bhat Goswami is very impressed by his qualities and he does not want to take any service from him. But still seeing his eagerness, he says, okay, if this is what you want. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is introduced to him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just nonchalant. He does not even recognize him. So he's very kind and glorifies Raghunath Bhat Goswami. He's just neglects Ram Vishwas because he knows his internal objective, where he's desiring to merge with the supreme aspect. Similarly, for devotees, even in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, you know, like Gaurang Prabhu was saying that if we can compare the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going to South India and delivering the holy name. You know, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And thus distributing this love of Godhead. Just like Prabhupada, you know, he went to the West and that's what he was doing. Just chanting everywhere, expressing his desire to serve the Lord in various ways, and things were just happening. But at the same time, it can also be compared to how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he takes Diksha from Ishwarpuri, he does not immediately, you know, actually start the Sankirtan movement. But he does it in a covered way when he goes to East Bengal and displays his caustic pastimes, establishing the various tenets of Vedanta philosophy. Even during that time, in Mahaprabhu's time, as also in Krishna's time, Vrindavandas Thakur writes and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur elaborates, there were many people who were considering themselves or Lord Krishna, non-different from Vasudev, non-different from Ram, and accepting worship on the on behalf of their so-called followers. It's in both ways, where the worshipper actually considers the Supreme Lord, who is the Vishay, that he himself is the Vishay. So he considers that himself is the Supreme Lord, and we can see so much in society too also. So they themselves are deluding and their followers are also deluded. At the same time, there is another aspect where the devotee considers that he is the Ashraya Vishaya or the Ashraya Tattva, in the sense that he himself is Srimati Radharani or Lalita or Vishakha or Yashoda. And in this way, he takes to Angropasana. So in either way, either he is considering himself as the Vishaya or the Ashraya Tattva, both ways he can do Angropasana. And both are invalidated by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and the six Goswamis. What he is just the eternal servant of the servant of the servant of the devotees of the Lord. So that is what Srila Prabhupada has always been stressing. And this is what actually Krishna is also saying in Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter. That how one has to understand that he is the eternal servant of the devotees. So when it is said that one becomes one with the Supreme Lord or the devotees, actually means in terms in relation to the Lord is qualitatively. In relation with the devotees is actually relating to their emotional disposition in serving the Lord. So the servant of the servant accepts the emotional disposition, not the external features. So after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, there were many apasampradayas in terms of Gauranagari and Sakhi Beki who actually accepted the external aspects of such devotees, you know, dressing up themselves as gopis or as Srimati Radharani or Vishakha or Lalita and displaying their devotional sentiments. But this is what actually is being criticized or vehemently spoken against in this purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. We can also see this during Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time in the story of Haridas Thakur. So Haridas Thakur, being an exalted devotee, many devotees would come to the cave of Haridas Thakur where he was chanting the holy name. And there lived a serpent at that time. And because of the serpent, a foul smell was emanating. And that's why the devotees, were not able to come and meet Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur did not want to disturb this snake. Exactly as what is mentioned in the next verse. The devotee who is actually worshipping the Lord in the form of a deity. For Haridas Thakur, the deity was the holy name itself. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So was the holy name was his deity himself. But he could see this deity in his heart and also in the heart of the snake. So he did not want to disturb the snake. He didn't want that he should leave his dwelling. So he decides that I should leave. But the Paramatma who is residing in the heart of the snake also inspires the snake to leave. And so the snake actually leaves the cave before Haridas Thakur is able to do. And Haridas Thakur in this way is always chanting and displaying ecstatic symptoms. Seeing this once, a snake charmer also thinks, why people are just glorifying Haridas Thakur? What is he doing? He's just chanting and just displaying some symptoms, emotional symptoms. Even I can do that. And he starts imitating Haridas Thakur and starts chanting and, displaying ecstatic symptoms, rolling on the ground and crying and weeping. But immediately the people are able to see the imitation of this snake charmer and start beating him up. So this type of thing is opposed. That one does not take up the external aspect, but the emotional sentiments of the worshipper, of the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we can see that how King Nimi is very concerned That's fine, you know, you are saying Bhagavad Dharma, but everyone cannot take it up. It may not be possible. So how can one gradually progress to this stage? And this is the opportunity when, you know, Avirotra and the other Navayoginis are saying, mentioning about Nishkarma Yoga, and in this again he clarifies about deity worship. And this is exactly what Krishna is saying in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. That for one who cannot, you know, take this up, so he can come up to Nishkam Karma Yoga. So this is what he clarifies in the 27th verse where he said, Yat Kuroshi Yad Yasnasi, you know. So after he has glorified pure devotional service, indirectly mentioned about the transcendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then he's saying how even the impersonalist can gradually progress. Then he's saying how one is very attached to the material concept of life, is attached to karma, can also take this up in the form of Nishkam Karma Yoga. This is what exactly is going on in this conversation between Nimi Maharaj and Navayogindra. Where he says, okay, if not this, then take up Nishkam Karma Yoga. This is how Nimi Maharaj is concerned for all his subjects. Yeah, and that is how the devotee of the Lord is very eager to give this medicine of pure devotional service. But seeing the patrata, what is it? A qualification of the person he is dealing with, he accordingly deals, you know. We can see how Prabhupada actually inspired so many of his devotees in different ways, amazing ways, you know. Because he had this vision of a Mahabhagavat. Surabhi Prabhu actually says how he came to devotional service. So he was very interested in temple architecture. And once he came to India, you know, studied different temples and went back to Netherlands. And at that time he again had the desire in his heart, no, I should come back and specifically study, you know, Radha Krishna temples. So with this in mind he came to Mumbai. And he was looking all around, you know, where he can find a good Radha Krishna temple to study the temple architecture. And at that time, you know, there were not many Radha Krishna temples here. So he asked many people and some people just suggested, you know, why don't you go to Akash Ganga? You know, that is where these Hare Krishna people are staying. Probably they'll be able to guide you. And when he reached there was hardly anyone because everybody had gone for Sankirtan and only Malati Mataji was there. And she just was nice to him, greeted him, said, yeah, please have a seat, you know, devotees will be coming. And it just so happened that devotees were going to vacate that building that day itself. So everything was being packed up. And when the devotees came, you know, Shyam Sundar Prabhu saw him and said, okay, so we are leaving to this land, you know, in Jhu. That is where we are going to stay. So would you like to come with us? And he didn't know what to do and he had no specific agenda. So he said, okay, fine, you know, I'll come with you. And so when he came along in this way, you know, they hired three, four taxis and they reached. And the first thing that Shyam Sundar Prabhu says, can you pay for the taxis, please? And he's like, you know, they have invited me and now I'm supposed to pay. He said, okay, fine. No, so he just pays. This is how he gets some Agyat Sukriti. And they just go to the quarters. And so Prabhupada has a lecture in the evening. And Shyam Sundar Prabhu has forgotten to get the tape recorder. So, you know, by chance, Surabhi Prabhu has a tape recorder and or he gets this back or something. And he says, but I know how to operate it. So he says that you sit beside Prabhupada and just keep recording and, you know, whenever he pauses, you can just stop the recording. So Surabhi Prabhu sits there and Prabhupada looks at him and he says, oh, this is a new person, you know. I have not seen him before. So he just keeps staring at him. And after the lecture is over, you know, he calls him inside, you know, come meet me. So he just talks with Surabhi Prabhu and says, oh, so any experience, you know, how I'm interested in Radha Krishna temple artistic. And Prabhupada immediately removes three plans. He says, this is my plan for Radha Ras Bihari. Can you take this up? And this person, you know, he's just come with this desire to study, not to make, to just study the architect. He's not even chanting any rounds. He has no idea what Krishna worship is. And Prabhupada just throws three plans at him and says, so, can you take up this project? Sri Prabhu is like, is this a dream come true? You know, I just wanted to study and I'm getting an opportunity to do this. So he immediately takes this up. He says, yes, Prabhupada, I will do it. And this way Prabhupada, you know, engages him in building the temple in Ras Bihari and Vrindavan, even when he was not a devotee. And he slowly takes up to into a devotional service here. And in fact, he takes up to sannyas and then becomes Surbhi Maharaj. So in amazing ways, you know, Prabhupada actually showed that how his concern manifests in different ways. But the whole point is that somehow or the other, the Bhagavata is actually inducing the conditioned soul, and if you want to really achieve liberation, please take up to this devotional service. Exactly this is what is happening in the... in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So after giving telling about Nishkam Karma Yoga, Krishna is telling that fine, you know, you can take this up, but still, you know, better to take up pure devotional service directly. Even if you are not perfect, you don't meet the standards, still, why? Because Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma. Soon you will come to perfection. So please accept this devotional service directly. And then he concludes this chapter by saying, Manmana Madhu Bhakto. So that is what the whole chain of thought again here is in the conversation between the Yogendras and Nimi Maharaj. That how it's the Bhagavad Dham that one should take. But still, if it's not possible, please take up this, please take up this, or please take up that. So in this way, the conditioned soul is encouraged so that he gets liberated from Maya. So with this... can conclude, the time's up. Hare Krishna. So anyone has any questions? You can ask. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.